Do the best we can. We're going to sing first and last verses this morning. 284, please. Onward rejoicing, I tread life's way. Higher I'm climbing each passing day. Hilltops of glory now rise in view, where all shall be made new. Hilltops of glory I now can see. Oh, brother, won't you come go with me? Safe on the mountain I soon shall stand. Hilltops of glory land. Footsteps of Jesus before us lead. We tread life's journey, his warnings heed. Evil allurements cannot prevail. I'm on the upward trail. Hilltops of glory I now can see. Oh, brother, won't you come go with me? Safe on the mountain, I soon shall stand. Hilltops of glory land. Please stand for prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you today, being thankful to have the ability to come together today and sing these songs unto you and study your word. God, we're thankful for the elders of the church and that they're able to continue to help our church grow in knowledge and grow as Christians. Please be with us today as we receive our lesson of your word, that we're able to take the lesson and apply it to our lives and become better Christians. God, we ask you to be with those that are unable to be with us here today, that are dealing with various health ailments, that have upcoming test procedures, and those mentioned in our prayer list. All these things we ask you is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Today's scripture reading comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and in the Pew Bible, that is page 1644. 1644. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ.
275, please. Mark your song book 603. First and last verse. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle where the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let our faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, we'll vanquish all the host of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Psalm Invitation 603, and Jim's our speaker this morning, so Jim studied this morning, and we'll give it to him.
What happens when you get older, but when the weather changes, you know it. And I think several of us had the sniffles this morning. Jared of those on. Let me see if I can get this up here the way I want it. That I want to take a look at, see if it's where I want it. You don't have it yet. Monitor. There we go. These things be a little bit contrary. As you might know, we don't have a speaker on this. I am it. So I've been studying this for quite a while, and I thought this would make a very good lesson. So we'll see what you think of what we're trying to do today. To get your mind set for what I'm trying to talk about this morning, in life, we have things like, I don't know, warranties, guarantees, promises, contracts, covenants, assurances. These are all similar things. They're an agreement between two people, or between maybe a person and a group, or two groups. These can go either way. And I've tried to think several things in my life over time that have happened when you have an agreement with people and it doesn't turn out too well. We get disappointed in life with other people and the way things went. I was thinking of a few things that has happened in my life. I bought a cancer insurance policy. We had it for, I think, for Marsh and I both at school, and the man came for that. And I think he even came to our house and was telling us all about it. You pay into that as long as you don't get cancer. You get all the money back that you pay in. That's a great deal. So we took that. It was probably close to 10 years. And, of course, I did end up with cancer, so it wouldn't have worked anyway. But anyway, after 10 years, they came, and the guy who always came didn't come. And he said, "We have some bad news for you." That was all a hoax. He never did turn any of the money in. And several of the teachers there at school did that. He got a premium from us every month for almost 10 years. You know what he did? He committed suicide, which you hate to hear things like that, but that's something that happened. In contracts or something going on. Likewise, when we were going to build the house, the contractor said, "Here," and he handed me a warranty, 30-year warranty on shingles. I thought, that's pretty good. I probably will never have to put another roof on this house. Somebody else will be doing it. So when that came to where after it started a year or so right after that, all the grit, and I'm not sure that's the technical term for that, but on the shingles, it's like sand that's on that kept washing into the spouting, and I thought seemed like it was a lot of stuff put in on that, too much coming off of it. And after about 10 years, it was almost all off the shingles. Remember, the 30-year shingles, the warranty says so. So at about 12 years, the round spots came, and to make a long story short, it went down into the asphalt. The asphalt came off, went clear down to the fiberglass, and was ready to leak through. Had a roofer look at it, and it was ready to leak, according to him. So I contacted the people with a 30-year warranty, and then it starts. He told me that the warranty wasn't for consumers, it was for the company, so the company wouldn't go broke. And I heard that, but I thought, oh, there'll be something. But after about a year of back and forth, had to get pictures of the roof, get the roofer back, get pictures of the roof, and then had to get them developed and sent to them, and they weren't enough, so they told me what I had to take, so I went back, took more pictures, another roofer there, taking pictures of that, back and forth. Had to get the shingles torn off where they were going bad, one that sent in to them, get that packaged up, send that in. And just on and on. This went on for a year, back and forth. They had to patch the spots they tore the shingles off. And when it was all over, I had to sign a paper to get anything. It would be that I wouldn't divulge what they did, and it was not their fault. The roof was fine. So I went ahead and signed that. And I would tell you this, you could just check into that. It wasn't worth it for me. I would never do it again with the way it ended up and what the result of it was. I did sign the paper that I would never divulge what they did, so I won't do that, but it was not worth it. I will tell you that. I think I can tell you that and still not break the contract that I had with them. But you run into that so much in this world, but it's not going to be in the next world. We have an unchangeable God. We have a God of truth, and the things in God are in truth. I wanted to look at one thing this morning that is in the New Testament, and that's in Christ. I saw this in a book of charts on illustrated evangelism that Rob Whitaker put out. He's in the School of Evangelism and House to House, Heart to Heart. And this was one of his charts that he used. And he had a group of scriptures within Christ in it. And there were quite a few. But when I got researching this a little farther, in Christ, and there's other ways of phrasing that, but some of the things that mean about the same thing, in Christ, in Him, in Christ Jesus, and in the Son of God, and it goes on in different phrases. If Jesus is speaking, then it's in me. Christ actually would say, in me. How many times do you think that's said in the New Testament? 180 times we find the phrase in Christ or something just like it. Paul used it 143 times. So it's something that really should catch our eye when we're studying and read a phrase like the scripture reading this morning, in Christ. So all these things are in Christ. So what are the benefits in being in Christ? We'll look at that this morning. I have about 7 scriptures I want to look at that are benefits, major benefits of being in Christ. Now, these are benefits if you're not a Christian. If you are a Christian, if you're in Christ, these are blessings. It's a little bit different in what we're looking at. So we're looking at benefits in Christ, or blessings in Christ. First of all, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A person is a new creation, new person. You come up out of that water. So what am I saying about it? You come up out of that water, a new creature, a new person. Old things have passed away. Past sins are pardoned. His person's whole outlook is new. That's John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. In just a few minutes, we'll look at what God says that we can do to be reconciled to Him. Reconciled just simply means back in friendly terms with God. We realize what happened in the garden when sin came in and they had to leave the garden. He has had a plan for reconciliation. Those that are in Christ, I would ask you right now, can you remember when you were first in Christ, when that happened, how you felt after that? Remember the zeal, the enthusiasm you had as a new Christian? That's something we need to keep in mind at times and remind ourselves. What's that song, Revive Us Again? I think we have to keep that in mind. So the first thing that we get by being in Christ that I have mentioned here is a new creature. Now I'm hoping today, when you leave here, you're going to be able to name a few of these. So I'm going to show these over and over. And I would ask you, if you can, sometime today, stop and see how many of these you can remember out of the 7 of them that we've used. Remember, there's 180. We're just going to look at seven today. That does mean that probably in the future there'll be other lessons on this. There's other things I want to look at in it. Secondly, in Christ, we gain faith. We grow in faith. We become children of God. The verse says sons of God, meaning children of God. We're in God's family by being in Christ. So let's look at that. Galatians 3, chapter 3 and verse 26 of Galatians. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We become sons of God by the faith. And I'd say that the faith. That's actually meaning the gospel. And it also includes, from what we're studying on Wednesday night, not only faith. Faith has obedience in it. So it's faith and obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's John 14 and 15. And then again in the next chapter, he also repeats that again. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So that's the type of faith we need to have, an obedient faith. We go back to Noah, and not too long ago we had a lesson on Noah. Noah was known for his faith in God. So if you look at Noah's life, he did all that God commanded him, and that's the way it's written. Why did they put that little word all in there? It's so important. Today we find many people leaving some of the commandments of God. They look at it like a shopping cart or something where you're going through the store and just pick out of the Bible what you want. We can't do that. We have to do all that God commands. A child of God will do all that God commands. What are the benefits of being Christ? What was the first one? Being a new creature. What's the second one? We're going to grow in faith. And the third one is grace. 2 Timothy 2 and 1. Let's take a look at that now. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. You therefore, my son, and this is Paul talking to Timothy. A lot of times Paul would call Timothy his son. That was a son in the faith. It wasn't his actual son, but he felt like it was by the teaching that he did to him. And that's one question we always have. Timothy's father was a Greek, and we don't hear much about him. That's about all we know, and we don't know where he was during Timothy's childhood. We do know about Timothy's mother and grandmother, and they seemed to have a lot to do with his upbringing. You therefore, my son, talking to Timothy, be strong. Well, what are we going to be strong in? As Christians, we have to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That unmerited favor that's there. And we're strengthened by that. And we need to look to that for strength. Recognizing that it is grace. It's God's unmerited favor. And we have that. How? In Christ Jesus. Okay, once again, what's the first thing? We become new creatures. Grow in faith and the grace that we get through God. And I was going to say this like an infomercial. I was going to look for each one of those. I was going to say, and that's not all. Do you know how those go? Well, also in Christ, we gain salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 2, again in verse 10 this time. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Where's salvation found then? In Christ. Who are the elect there? That's a topic with you get into the denominations and things. That there's different people who have different thinking of that. The elect are those who chose, decided, become Christians. Some thinks that's all predetermined and everything. But you have a choice whether you become a Christian or not, whether you believe or not. At the end here, we're going to get into the plan of salvation and how you can become in Christ. At this time, you want to keep that in mind. How do you get in Christ then if salvation is there? New creature, faith, grace, and then this last one we just looked at, salvation. All those you gain in Christ. Eternal life in Christ. Now take a good look at those things so far. You get to begin your life all over and follow the example of Christ, being a new creature. You gain faith, and faith with obedience in Christ. Grace, God's unmerited favor, makes us stronger, and we grow in those things. You gain salvation. You're saved if you're in Christ. Eternal life is in Christ. Let's look at the verse. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. God gave us eternal life so that in Christ we have eternal life. John Calvin taught a lot of different doctrines back about 500 years ago. Now we're coming up for too long, it'll be 500 years ago. Those show up so much in today's religious world, in the denominations. They're teaching things of John Calvin that they don't even realize they're teaching, and that's where it come from. That's one thing I would urge here. This is all, it keeps saying in Christ or in His Son or in Him. That's what we need to go back to. We need to be looking at the Bible. We need to be following the things of the Bible and not going back to what some man came up with 500 years ago. Some of the teaching on that that I've run into is that baptism is optional. All you have to do is maybe hear and believe, and you're saved at that, and you can do baptism if you want to. That is not taught in the Bible. That came from a man. And there's other things about salvation that I'm not going to get into. I don't have time today to do it, but are not in the Bible, that John Calvin came up with and everybody follows it. So you've got to make a decision. Are you going to follow what Christ taught, what's in the New Testament, or are you going to follow some of these doctrines that men have come up with? Christ talked so much in the New Testament with the Jewish leaders, and he was always talking about don't follow the doctrines and the commandments of men. We're going to look at a verse here towards the end of the lesson on what doctrine we ought to be following. So, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son, if you want eternal life. So far, the benefits are you become a new person. You get to begin your life over again in Christ, forgiving your sins, for the remission of sins. Faith, become a child of God. Grace, you grow, you gain from God in Christ. Salvation is in Christ. Eternal life is in Christ. And there's more. Truth is in Christ. This again comes from Paul, Romans 9:1. I tell you the truth in Christ. If you want the truth like I began this morning, in the world you're not going to get total truth. But in Christ, in the Word of God, you will find truth. Paul speaking, I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Spirit. That's he begins speaking here about the truth. So if you want truth, you want to be in Christ. Think about what Christ says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is in Christ. Okay, again, new creature. What's next? Can you do this? How good is your memory on that? That's one thing that you get to be... I think you hit in about the 60s, and you notice that memory is changing on you. So can you remember these things? How many will you remember out of the seven? New creature in Christ, faith in Christ, grace in Christ, salvation in Christ. What's next? Eternal life in Christ, truth in Christ. What will be the next one? One more left. Redemption in Christ. You see the theme of all these things? having to do with eternal life, salvation, redemption. Romans 3:24, and this would be Paul speaking, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There are conditions to this redemption. That's what we have to remember. You must have the faith in Christ. It is available to all, and it allows the guilty to become just. It cannot be earned. It is freely given to those willing to receive it. It is not deserved. It is given by divine grace. It redeems us from sin. This happens within the in Christ relationship. So there's the benefits, or if you're a Christian, the blessings of being in Christ. New creature, faith, grace, salvation, eternal life, truth, and redemption. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, it reads, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I run into people that tell me, I don't know what to do. I talk to so many people about religion and everybody's telling me something different. How to become a Christian, about the church. Well, if everyone telling you something different, somebody's not right on that. It gets back to the same thing. Are we going to follow the doctrines of men, their ideas? And I was going to say something about that too. You know, it's usually men that's changed the Bible. I don't. When I go back and read about that, some man wrote this, some man wrote that. Groups of men met together and they decided they'd change this from what was in the New Testament and that. And it's usually men that have done this. I think it just in the last 100 years, women have kind of jumped into that. Now we find more of that. So basically the men that have corrupted what Christ brought and what the Bible has said on that. Don't leave plain, easy teaching. That's what's actually being said. Why would you leave plain, easy teaching, which is not true anyway, and for what Christ had taught on it? Son of God, for the doctrine of men, why would you turn from that for that? The blessings that are in Christ and the doctrine and the commandments of men, compare the two, which one are you going to go with? It is not difficult if you get in the New Testament and read about how to become a Christian. The book of Acts is completely full of that, people changing their lives and being forgiven of their sins. Those that would tell me, I've had somebody tell me that it doesn't matter how much water you have for baptism. It said one drop or a whole lake. If you go to Romans chapter 6, it tells us that baptism is a burial. Now, how do you bury somebody with a drop of dirt? What will it take? It takes enough to cover them. So if you're going to obey that part in Romans, you're going to have to be buried. That's where you dip down into the water. Baptism, actually, the Greek word for that, I guess, really similar to a dip, where you're completely buried. So if we're going to follow the scripture on that, the simplicity of the scriptures. Something else I was told, well, it's optional too. You're saved earlier in the plan of salvation. We don't find that in the scriptures. In Acts chapter 2, they were saved after they were baptized. They were added to the church after that. Who adds them to the church? The Lord. A lot of places do that differently. You're automatically a part of the church right after you're saved, and you're saved after baptism. You tell me that baptism is optional? Just think about that for just a minute. Jesus Christ, there was two paths down to the Jordan where John the Baptist was baptizing. One path, it was 90-some miles. The other path, it was about 100-and-some. So the Bible scholars have estimated Christ walked around 100 miles down to where John the Baptist was to be baptized. Now, what did God say about Christ being baptized? He was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. What does that mean in our language? It was the right thing to do. What did God have to say after it happened? This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. And then someone tries to tell me that it doesn't matter. It's optional. These things, there is simplicity in Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Okay, we've got those seven things we've seen so far this morning that were benefits. How do you get into Christ? Here it is. What if we change this verse and make it negative? This happened to Eve when the serpent told him, oh, this not, they added the word not, this won't happen, Eve. So Eve went along with that. What if we put a not in this scripture here? It's still going to be true. For as many as you as have not been baptized into Christ have not put on Christ. It's still true. If you're baptized into Christ, you're in Christ. If you're not baptized, you're not in Christ. Both of them's true, if you look at it that way. So that's how important baptism is. Someone tries to tell me that it's optional. I'm concerned about that. That's in so many places in the scripture. And what did God think about it? That he had Christ being baptized. It was to fulfill all righteousness. And I should always say with that too, he was sinless. It was not for remission of sins like it is for us, but it was the right thing to do. He's our example. And even he was baptized. Again, another scripture, and we could go on with these, and that will be another lesson maybe someday on baptism. Know ye not, do you know this, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. There's the importance of baptism, because that is, you're dying to the old man of sin, and you're coming up out of that water, what? That first thing we had here, a new creature in Christ. So that's a reason for that. If you're baptized, then you're in Christ. If you have not been baptized, you're not in Christ. And I like to say there's many other scriptures, but that's not what this lesson is about necessarily. Jesus said, I said to him, this is the words of Jesus, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Talk about simplicity. It pretty well explains everything there. The only way you're going to get to God in heaven, and the only way you're going to get into heaven for eternal life is through Christ. How do you get in Christ? By following the plan of salvation. The only reason that baptism was mentioned in this, that's the last thing you do. The plan of salvation, you need to do the same things that they did in the New Testament. So that's one thing I did want to say too. Why did it have baptism in there? That's not stressing baptism above the other things. If you don't repent, you need to do that. You also had to confess before witnesses that Christ is the Son of God. Those things need to be done. And of course, and this is one that most will stress, faith. Faith has to be there. Those aren't one more important than the other. You do all of them, and you do them in the order that they did them in the New Testament. That's another problem that we find in the religious world. Some teach you can be baptized before you believe, and you believe after it. That's taking this all out of order. God is a God of order and decency, and there is an order to this, and it is important. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Again, that's pretty plain. Whoever transgresses, that means to break, and does not abide, doesn't stay in it, in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Now you're going to find if you talk to someone on religion and a person that would want to talk about it, they're eventually probably going to get to, what doctrine do you follow? Now, are you going to give some man's name by the church that you follow that? This is the doctrine that we are supposed to follow. It is the church of Christ. Christ died for the church. He was the groom, and the church is the bride. He purchased the church with his blood. Why would we call the church anything else? He said, I will build my church in Matthew 16:18. These things are important to us. And it seems to me, if it wasn't for all the people teaching wrong things, this would be easily picked up out of the New Testament. It's Christ's church. Let's call it after Christ. We follow his teachings. Doctrine is just a word for teachings. So what doctrine do you follow? I follow the doctrine of Christ, what Christ taught. So there's the lesson this morning. The seven things we mentioned about in Christ, but keep in mind that there's 180 of them mentioned in the New Testament. How do you get in Christ? By following the plan of salvation. And that's the plan that's set up in the New Testament. If there's anyone here this morning that at this time would want to become in Christ, become a Christian, a New Testament Christian, this is a good time to do it. This is a tradition of the Church of Christ, usually gives an invitation every time they meet. But you need to remember that that invitation of Christ is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's Christ that gives the invitation, and it's always available to you. And I know that there's people here that no matter what time it is, we get here, and because we have the water here to baptize you into Christ. If you understand what the New Testament teaches in that, first of all, you're hearing the Word of God. So it's someone that's either read the New Testament and understands it or has heard the preaching of it. Secondly, do you believe it? And thirdly, are you going to change your life? You're going to become that new creature. You're going to repent and start your life over living for Christ. And are you going to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before witnesses and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost? That's what you have to do to become a New Testament Christian. So that is your lesson this morning. I would like sometime today for you to try to see how many of those seven things you can remember that you get in Christ, and especially the one about being in Christ. To get into Christ, you follow the plan of salvation. It mentions baptism there, but that was the last thing that you do to have your sins forgiven. Thank you so much for your attention. The attention here is always good. So I appreciate that. It makes it a lot easier. And next week, I think we'll have one of our traveling preachers here. I think it's Daryl here next week. So whatever your needs are, also this is a time that we could pray for you if there's a need, or if someone that has fallen away, if you want the prayers of the congregation, this is a good time. Or for other things that you're going through at the time, we could pray for you at this time. Almost persuaded, Tom.
We'll sing the first and last verse, please. Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Sing now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day, to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost, but lost.
Easy to see it. We'll turn to 740. Let's prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper. We're going to just sing the first two verses. I want to thank Jim for a good lesson this morning. Appreciate him taking time to get prepared.
Give glory to God in school.
Give God the glory, yes. First two verses, please. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid that debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
Does anyone need to share communion?
We are here this morning in Christ, and we are here around this table to partake of this spiritual feast in Christ. He paid that debt that we all owed, and none of us could pay it, because it's a terrible cost to pay that debt. This morning, I'd like for you to think about that debt, all the things that you've done wrong in your life, and how Jesus came, he gave his life, that we could be set free from all that sin, all that burden, all that pressure of guilt that can just devour a person. Guilt is a terrible thing. God blessed us with Jesus, and Jesus blessed us with his life. Think about Jesus, what he's done for you, and let us go to God in prayer and thanks. Dear Lord, we humbly come before you. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your love, your grace, and all the wonderful blessings you have so richly bestowed upon us. We ask that you would bless this bread that represents your Son's body that was given on the cross. Help us keep deep in our hearts that sacrifice Jesus made for us. All this we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In like manner, let us give thanks for the cup. Dear Lord, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the sacrifice Jesus paid for us. We ask you to bless this fruit of the vine that represents his precious blood that was shed for us. Dear Lord, Again, we thank you for your Son. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Another part of our worship service to God is giving back. God has given us so much. Besides his Son, so many wonderful blessings we have. We have this building, we have our homes, our cars, our jobs. So many wonderful blessings. Some of those greater blessings are our kids and our grandkids. We have so much to be thankful for. Let us go to God in prayer and thanks. Dear Lord, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace that you've shown upon us. Thank you for all the wonderful blessings of life. Dear Lord, help us now to have a cheerful heart as we give back to thee a portion that you've given us. Help us to be cheerful givers always. We again thank you again for your Son. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Mark will have announcements.
I'd like to welcome everyone this morning to our morning services here, and in the way of announcements, of course, we want to remember all the ones that's on our prayer list. Holly has in the bulletin, we have a pretty lengthy list here of all the ones that's has different elements, and we want to remember them during the time they're going through and asking for the prayers. Also, we want to remember this coming Wednesday night for Bible study. Our Bible study has changed to 6:30, so we want to make sure we change that time. That way we know to be here at 6:30 instead of our old time of 7:30. So we want to be here at 6:30 this coming Wednesday. Of course, in our Bible studies, we've been on Sunday morning, we've been studying the book of Daniel on Sunday morning. And of course, the ladies on the phone, they've been doing it on Sunday nights. They're doing First Chronicles, and it looks like they're going to do First Chronicles chapter 12 through 14 tonight. So I encourage you to get on there. Of course, we've been talking about the Wednesday nights Bible study at 6:30. We'll be studying Proverbs that night. So they'll be having a couple of some videos and to watch on that night. Of course, we got our Ladies' Day here at the building here. That'll be this coming Saturday, October the 19th. And Jackie Javelin, and she'll be your speaker, and Laura Tonka will be the song leader for that day. Of course, in the back, on that day, on that Saturday, October the 19th, that starts at 10 o'clock. Well, the sign up is at 9, and then it'll actually be from 10 to 1. So encourage you ladies to be here for that. In the back on the bulletin board, in the folders, are some sign up sheets of stuff you like that they're asking for to be brought that day. And for that way we can have the meals and stuff like that. And the men's gonna be the ones serving the ladies that day. Of course, Holly has in there in the thing all the different churches around close to us that are having activities that's coming up. And I'm not going to go through the list, but there's a few in there for that. Of course, there's a youth night at Noble Park coming up on November the 4th. And that'll be coming up. And also, she has in here about the military prayers. She has in here Chase shepherd. She has him, and I'm sure if there's any others, just let Holly know. That way we can put them in the bulletin. I think that's about everything I have. Is there anything that we need to add or correct?
Yeah, Tom.
Yeah, I can actually, I know from where I lived on Long Street, when I lived with my parents, Rex lived just right across the street from where he lived right there on the corner. And I could tell you every afternoon about when he got off from where he worked at Cooper Standard, you could almost time it just right. You knew when his truck was going to come down and back into that driveway. You knew when he was leaving or coming home. And of course, he left early in the morning, so yeah. And he had actually been sick for a good while. And he had been taking care of, his wife had been taking care of him for several years at home. And I know it finally got to where she couldn't take care of him there at the end. If there's nothing else, I'll ask you to stand, and then we'll have the closing prayer.